Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy, knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Even though the Kansas City Royals did not qualify for the 2017 postseason, no shortage of exciting moments for the Royals during the regular season. Joining us right now on this Friday, the 13th, to break it all down, Jeffrey Flanagan, Royals reporter for MLB.com. Jeffrey, we thank you for the time, and what we're going to do today is kind of break down the top moments of the Royals season, whether it was actual moments or full games or what have you. A lot of exciting things happening for the Royals in 2017, and just kind of going over the list here, we saw, of course, Mike Moustakas finally toppling the legend of Steve Balboni, as it's the Moose who finally has the single-season home run record, sending Balboni from the franchise record books after a long time. And, Jeffrey, this team was a big-time streak buster in 2017. They not only ended the Indians' 22-game winning streak, also ended the Astros' 11-game winning streak. So they had some big roles in that regard. Saw some great catches by Eric Hosmer. We saw some big grand slams. Salvador Perez at Fenway Park stands out. So just kind of picking your brain a little bit, what stands out to you for whatever reason from this past season?
Well, I do think that the breaking the Indians streak was pretty huge, and mainly because Mike Minor, who had not been a closer before in his career, came in that night and had just blown a save the night before. So the Indians got their 22nd straight win, and they were kind of out of bodies in the bullpen, and suddenly Ned turned to Mike Minor, and he came in and got the save and ended the streak. And I think it was interesting to me too, but just because it foreshadows possibly for the future, because once, and then he just basically assumed the closer's role the rest of the year, and the rest of the bullpen, which had been kind of not in shambles but in trouble in the second half of the year, just suddenly fell in place. Herrera became a solid setup guy. Peter Moylan, so everybody found role the minute Mike Minor took the closer's role. So that'll be interesting going forward. I certainly think, you mentioned some of the home runs, and one of the ones we didn't talk about too was there was a game against the Colorado Rockies when Greg Holland was in town, first time since he had been a Royal, and very emotional. Coming back for him, and Eric Hosmer walked him off in the bottom of the ninth. I think that was one of the thrilling moments of the season, and certainly Salvador Perez hitting a grand slam, his first career grand slam against the Red Sox. It was a getaway day game at Kauffman Stadium, and they came back and beat the Red Sox 6-4. So, yeah, there were certainly some exciting times.
Yeah, there certainly was, and I want to touch a little more about Mike Moustakas as he breaks Steve Balboni's single-season franchise record for home runs. And talk about how big that was for Moose, and if there was any – did anybody hear from, Steve Balboni as Moustakas was pursuing his record? Because if I'm not mistaken, that record had stood for a couple of decades, had it not?
Three.
Okay.
it was 1985.
Wow.
So it's a 32-year-old record. And I did talk to Steve Balboni a couple of times leading up to the Moose breaking the record. And he knew something was happening. He's a scout for the Giants right now. He knew something was happening because his phone kept ringing and people kept telling him. And he wasn't really, following it per se by himself, but he had enough phone calls that he knew that Moose was getting close. And he said several times to me that he was very surprised that the record lasted that long. But, of course, Kauffman Stadium is the biggest ballpark in the league, and it's a very tough homer park. So, but he thought, maybe a guy like Bo Jackson or something like that was going to break the record. That never happened. So, getting Moose, I talked to Moose, too, every day leading up to when he finally broke the record in Toronto. And once he got to, 36 – and 35. He started thinking about it, he told me, a little bit more than he had, you know, leading up to that. And I think that's why he kind of slowed down a little bit in September. And I think as much as anything, when he finally did break the record, it was a relief, and it's a record he's very proud of.
Yeah, no question. And like you said, Al Balboni's record had stood since 1985, so 31 years until somebody came along and broke that record. And is there any possibility whatsoever that Moose's record is going to stand for even half that long?
Yeah, I think there is, actually, because the Royals are going to go through a little bit of a transition period right now. And, you know, Mike Moustakas might not be back. Eric Hosmer might not be back. So there's a couple of candidates. You know, maybe Salvador Perez down the line might be a candidate to break the record. You know, you just don't know what's coming up through the minor leagues in the next two or three years. There are some power hitters down there. But like I said, it's a tough ballpark because it's a big ballpark. You know, the ball doesn't carry there, you know, very often. The power alleys are so deep, 410 to center. It's just a tough place to hit home runs. That's why they've, throughout the decades, have been designed to be a team with speed and play defense. And that changed a little bit this year because they did get a little bit more power. But I think moving forward, I think you see them transition back to a little bit more speed and defense. And so, yeah, maybe the record will stand pretty long.
Yeah, and he could have as nice of a run as Steve Balboni had through the
80s, 90s. Yeah,
yeah, and in 2000s up till 2017. And, Jeffrey, you mentioned that, you know, Moustakas and Escobar and Hosmer and company, a lot of these guys are not going to be back in 2018 after a remarkable run, which produced two pennants and nearly two world titles. They got the one in 2015. Take us through that moment where, you know, all four or five guys kind of huddled on the infield and they were given a great send-off by the great fans at Kauffman Stadium. That had to have been highly emotional.
Yeah, it really was. That was a special moment. The core four there, just huddling right behind the pitcher's mound, and they had a special ceremony post-game for them, too, and that was, you know, that was very emotional, and I think most of them held it together until they started seeing the montage of replays throughout their career. And I remember watching Haas grab Moose and the two of them hug, and, you know, you could see close up that they were crying. I mean, it's possibly the end of this core playing together. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know if any of them, all of them, none of them will be back. So it's going to be. It was an emotional time then, and I think they recognize the fact that, you know, it might be, you know, the end of an era for them, and they look back at all they accomplished, and it was quite a bit that they accomplished. So. But, you know, all four of them told me later, and that, I mean, we should throw Jason Vargas in there too,
right?
Who was here for the last 4 years, and they just don't know what the future is. You know, they want to be back, but they just don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, the one thing that strikes me is that, you know, these guys, as bittersweet and as emotional as this is for them, they are able to walk away from this, if that is indeed what ends up happening, you know, with a ring and with two pennants and with bringing all this success to Kansas City. Because, I mean, just look at this postseason with the teams that have had their hearts broken. I mean, the
yeah.
Indians, everybody thought that, you know, this was the year they finally snapped that, you know, that 69-year drought without a world title. That's not going to happen. Look at the Nationals. They still can't get out of the division series. So, there is so much unpredictability in the postseason, and fortunately for the Royals, I mean, yes, they had the heartbreak in 2014, losing Game 7, but they did bring a ring to Kansas City for the first time in 30 years, and I would think that, you know, to have had that success, which you can never take for granted, has got to make this a little easier to swallow if indeed that core is broken up.
Absolutely. I mean, they'll never forget the parade, and I don't think I'll ever forget it either. You know, there are estimates of anywhere from, you know, 300 to 800,000 people jammed in downtown Kansas City. It was just a complete sea of blue. And you're right. You look at the heartbreak that the Nationals just went through last night and the Indians the night before, and they're not going to have parades. They won't experience that. And this core group worked very hard and came together as a group, and they got there. They got to the promised land, and they pulled it off, so that will never be able to be taken away from them.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to get your opinion on is, you know, in my mind, I think that this Royals team, when they made their run in 2014 and 2015. They were the team that set the blueprint that so many other teams follow now in terms of building your bullpen and riding a dominant bullpen, especially in the postseason. Is that how you look at this Royals team? Is that going to be part of their legacy?
Absolutely. That was and they did it more for economic reasons than anything else.
True.
Because it was a lot cheaper to put together a shutdown bullpen than to go out and spend $20 million on a quality, you know, a top-flight starter. The rotation back in both of those years was not anywhere near elite. But, you know, they put, you know, Dayton Moore and his staff put together a shutdown bullpen. You know, in 15, it was just crazy. I mean, they had Ryan, you know, speaking of the Nationals, they had Ryan Madsen. And the Cubs, they had Wade Davis. They had Holland. They had Luke Hochever. Danny Duffy at the time was, you know, part of a bullpen. It was just an absolute shutdown bullpen where they could bring in guys who just threw fire starting in the fifth or sixth inning. And if they had a lead by then, it was checkmate. It was game over. And I do think that's the way the game has evolved, and I think that's the way it will keep evolving in the future.
Yeah, I agree. And the Royals were the team, like you said. Maybe the reasons were different, but the result was the same in terms of getting that monster back into that bullpen. And so many teams mimic that now. And that's what the game has become, and a hat tip to the Royals for the team that set that blueprint. Jeffrey, before we let you go, there's one kind of quirky moment on here I want you to kind of elaborate on. It was back on May 30th. The Royals beat the Tigers 1-0. Eric Skoglund made his big league debut, and he had something of a hat tip for the ages when he got taken out of the game in the seventh inning. Can you kind of bring us through that?
It has to be one of my favorite moments of the season because it was so unique. It's so quirky to have a rookie who had just thrown whatever it was, 6 1/3 shutout innings against, you know, the Tigers, and in his major league debut, and he came to the dugout, and it was a pretty decent crowd that night, and he turned and just did a pirouette around, you know, and saluted every single section of the stadium like he was George Brett, and after 30 years he was retiring from the Royals or something, and here was this, you know, young kid doing that, and we all just kind of chuckled in the press box, and it's still one of my favorite moments. I'm not sure why he quite did that, but I think he just wanted to, you know, pay tribute to the fans. But it just struck me as like, is he saluting the fans or is he retiring and we'll never see him again? I don't know, but it just took forever for that to unfold, and it was definitely one of the more interesting moments of the year.
And it put a smile on everybody's face. It was such a breath of fresh air, and it was so great to see. And hopefully big things are ahead for him in 2018 and beyond. That's a good place to wrap this one up. Jeffrey Flanagan, our Royals reporter, we thank you for the time as always. We'll do it again soon. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.